This recording was made in The Booth, a ministry of Preston Hollow Presbyterian Church in Dallas, Texas.
Today is May 15th, 2017, and my name is Rick Wyman. I have the pleasure of sitting here with Rosemary Curtis, a member of Preston Hollow Presbyterian Church, and we're in The Booth. Rosemary, I understand you have a passion for teaching English as a second language to adults and children. Thanks for coming in this afternoon and sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Rick. Yes, I have a passion for teaching ESL, even though I'm fluent in only one language. It is always good to talk about something that you love. So what is ESL? It's English as a second language. I came to Dallas in 1963 to live and to teach. In 1965, I was teaching at Stephen J. Hay, which was an old school even then. The school still stands at the corner of Herschel and Gilbert, north of Douglas. At that time, the neighborhood was changing, but still had some of the old Dallas families who lived on the west side of Lemon Avenue on streets like Rollins. It also had some Hispanic immigrants because there were many old duplexes and apartments in the area where lower-income people had begun to find a home. I remember fondly David Reynosa, a darling fourth grade boy who spoke little English, who stole my heart. But when I asked a consultant who came around to visit, she said there were no programs to help him. So my program was called Forcing David into English, and I worked hard to help him. How do I know that it was appreciated? I never met his parents, and I recall his father was a janitor somewhere. But his father drew a lovely poster for our class when we were studying Hawaii. I know that was his way of saying, I know that you're trying to help my son. And you see, after all these years, I remember David Reynoso. There were other families like the Aguilars who took pride in the number of states they had traveled within the United States. Actually, Robert was almost blind, but his mother was determined to keep him in a regular class. In 1969, I took 8 years from teaching to have my own family. The second thing that brought my attention to the need for bilingual education came about 10 years later. My neighbor and friend Carolyn Strickland answered an ad in the paper for a preschool director at El Divino Salvador Presbyterian Church. This church was located in the Wycliffe area, and it was moving to the suburbs, but wanted to continue a preschool program until the building sold. The following year, the program was moved to Bethany Presbyterian Church, which they used until a few years ago. It was located near a housing project near Cedar Springs, and what we know as Mi Escuelita, my little school, started. It was really touch and go financially for years, but today there are 7 locations and 645 students. There are wonderful success stories of students who started at Mi Escuelita, where they learned English and preschool skills in a loving and respectful environment. From tracking the students in DISD, we find that Mi Escuelita children have been able to excel in the school system, and many have gone on to college and give Mi Escuelita the credit for their success. And I would like to note, it wasn't bilingual education, it was English only, except they had kind teachers who spoke English and Spanish. The first kindergarten class graduation was on a warm May evening in the sanctuary at Bethany Presbyterian Church. It was a small sanctuary, and the room was filled with parents and grandparents and crying babies. The parents were dressed very simply, but the children were decked out in the very best their parents could provide. There was a little reception after the graduation that the parents had prepared. I only remember their immense pride and feeling of community. Educating their children was of tremendous importance. This is when I fell in love with Mi Escuelita and have been involved with them for over 30 years. Mi Escuelita is a great organization because it teaches children, but it also teaches parents how to help their children do well in school. It has been effective in teaching kind Spanish-speaking ladies who are good with children to become professional teachers. This was a very gradual process, but now all teachers at Mia Squalito are certified and many are working on college degrees. To me, this is ESL education at its best. In 1997, Preston Hollow Presbyterian Church began to teach ESL in the Vickery Meadow area. If you go east on Park Lane past Greenville, you will be in the Vickery Meadow area. It is an area of high-density immigrants from all over the world. The language is no longer Spanish, but one may hear Farsi, Arabic, and about 25 other languages. Acquiring land in this area was very difficult because it is quite expensive and almost every inch is covered with apartments. So we started the program in an apartment clubhouse. Soon we were able to acquire a very small house on Ridgecrest, where we managed to have a little program for adults and children. With the grace of God, we were able to then acquire another tiny property next to this. Now we have a small house for the children's program and a semi-wide trailer for the adults and some offices. There's actually room for a small playground, believe it or not. Anyone in the neighborhood can come register and get in an ESL class if there's room. While mothers or fathers are in a class, the children are able to be enrolled in a preschool program or in a two-hour day daycare. When I retired almost 13 years ago, I wanted to teach at VMLC. I wasn't sure how it would work being an English-only speaker, but I had excellent material and many years of experience teaching young children. I've been able to use the same skills to become a very happy ESL teacher. I know that, like doing anything, if you love it, this will be your biggest asset. Well, what is our goal? The first goal is survival skills, how to find your way around Dallas on the dark, how to get medical help, how to find a school, how to get a job. We start out with the most elemental of conversations, and we repeat, repeat, repeat. Say good afternoon to some people and repeat several times. At the beginning of each class, I read a children's picture book. Sometimes I just tell the story as simply as I can and show pictures. For example, my favorite, I always start out with Fortunately, Unfortunately. It's usually the first book that I read. I can write the title on the board and draw a smiley face beside Fortunately and a frown besides Unfortunate. After that, the story tells itself with the pictures. Then I can ask a question about the book. Sometimes the question will be oral, and sometimes I will ask the students to answer with a written sentence. Often I will have to compose the sentence myself. It is very hard for beginning ESL students to get started on a good sentence. In the beginning, I taught a 1C class, but now I've been teaching level 2 for a number of years. Classes vary, but usually the last one is always the best because you become so fond of the students each year. Many volunteers have been there for years and are better, and we are better now at what we do. The students are from varying backgrounds in their own countries. I had a lady from Iraq in my class who had taught physics in high school. This is not at all unusual of the people from Iraq. I find that they are usually very well educated. Several years ago, I had a delightful student who taught kindergarten in Mexico City. I have the cutest, most delightful student this year from Uganda, who was in business school and very much wants to be able to go back to college. Many students, however, come from poor educational backgrounds, and any school experience is harder for them as an adult. After I read a story, we have exercises that we do in the student handbook and then in a workbook. I might add that this is the only cost of the students. The $30 cost can be paid out and usually is. There are carefully planned lessons that build on each other. Another example of something fun that I would like to share is an exercise that we do on a robbery in an apartment house. My delightful former teacher, co-teacher for 6 years, was an ex-Girl Scout leader, and she had every imaginable thing in her garage for costumes. If she did not have it, she got it from the University Park police or a son who was a doctor. The book explains that there was a robbery at 151 River Road yesterday. Burglars broke into every apartment in the building. while tenants were out. It tells the man in apartment one wasn't home. He was washing his clothes at the laundromat, and it shows a picture. The woman in apartment two wasn't home either. She was visiting a friend in the hospital, and it shows a picture. The story goes all the way through six robberies. After that, there's a dialogue for the students to do. The questions are, which apartment do you live in? Were you at home at the time of the robbery? What did the burglars take from your apartment? How much money did they take? We divide the class up in teams, and each represents one of the apartments. Another student and I act as the police and dress appropriately. This is so much fun, and the students lose some of their self-consciousness. They're just like us, and they don't want to make a fool of themselves either. However, the students get to insert some of their personality into the process of the skit. The grandmother's always lots of fun as a student dons a wig, a hat and a shawl, glasses, and comes in hobbling with a walking cane. We also play games. We sing songs. We do raps that are provided in our book. We do whatever we can to help students learn new vocabulary and grasp the pronunciation and cadence of English. Have you ever thought of the words you run together, like, what he do? What did he do? What did he do? What was he doing? What was he doing? Classes are offered Monday through Thursday for 2 hours in the morning or 2 hours in the afternoon. There are also evening classes for those who cannot attend in the daytime. There are three levels of classes and a GED offered. Many of the students come after working all night. I had a student a few years ago from Ethiopia named Yemi, who was 9 months pregnant and still working, and came to class. Needless to say, she was exhausted, but she knew that to have a better life in this country, she must learn English. The students get to use a computer lab once a month as part of the class, and there are field trips and other programs provided for them, like a talk on how to fill out the census report, or a nutrition or gardening class, or a manners class, or an opportunity to speak with a lawyer. For problems, the director has a number of resources within the community where the students can find help. The program has been so successful and in so much demand that we now have three locations. The original one on Ridgecrest, one in West Dallas, and one at Central Christian Church in East Dallas. This year we're serving 1,000 adults and 330 preschoolers. There are so many stories that I'd like to share with you, but I'll share only two. The first is about Jose, who was in our class a few years ago. He was a good student, and he had a steady job at La Madeleine North Park. He came faithfully to class, and when he got his citizenship, we had a big party with a cake, American flags, and lots of pictures. I'll never forget the celebration, and I don't think that he will either. The other is about a beautiful young woman, Sienna, from Ethiopia. This is a story that she wrote about coming to America. I did help her put it into a narrative that is easy to understand. The title is Frustrated and Scared, and the director, Victory Meadow, used it in her annual report that year with a picture of Sienna. She said, "When I first came to America, I was frustrated. In that time, I really was scared. I had so many questions. How can I learn to speak English? How can I get a job? How do I use the bus or train? In 2005, I got lost on the train and went to another place." That was her way of saying somewhere, but she just said, went to another place. Those were her words. "I cried. A man asked me why I was crying. I told him that I didn't know where I was or what to do." She also said that she was afraid to trust him, but she desperately needed help. I added that he might have been a guardian angel because he did help. Now she says, "I'm taking driving lessons and I'm saving money to buy a car. I know a lot of English and I have a job. I can drive myself to work. I'm very happy to be in Dallas now. I'm not frustrated or scared now. Life is getting better and happier." Well, those are some of my experiences and some of my memories from teaching ESL. And thank you for letting me share those with you, Rick.
Rosemary, it's absolutely my pleasure and honor to listen to those stories. They're wonderful, and the loving service you've provided the community, starting with the Mi Escalita program and then continuing on with the Victory Meadows Learning Center today. I mean, some of the poignant stories about your students, I know, are heartwarming, and everybody will enjoy listening to those. So God bless you for everything you're doing and have done over the years.
Oh, thank you, Rick. It's just been my pleasure to do it in the past, and I hope, the good Lord willing, I'll keep doing it for a while.
I hope so, too. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
This recording was made in The Booth, a ministry of Preston Hollow Presbyterian Church in Dallas, Texas. For more information about The Booth, visit www.phpc.org.